members present are Senator Elton, Senator
Stedman.
I was going to get it this time, Bert. Senator Dyson, myself, Senator Wagoner. Today will be, the bills we'll be hearing are Senate Bill 126, Aquatic Farming, SJR 16, States' Rights to Regulate Hunting and Fishing, and HJR 15, Open Ocean Aquaculture. At this time, I want to check, Senator Terrio's here. Do you have a conflict in schedule or anything? Okay, thank you. Okay, the first item then will be Senate Bill 126, Aquatic Farming. And this is Jackson. In front of you will find in the blue paperwork changes made under a CS for Senate Bill number 126. So go ahead, Mary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Mary Jackson. I'm staff to Senator Wagner and to this committee. We have before you a CS for Senate Bill 126, and if you would be so inclined, I would certainly speak to the changes.
Go right ahead.
Mr. Chairman, move the bill.
Oh, can you?
I might need to move version F.
F.
Can you substitute for 126, version F?
Any objection? Not. We have committee substitute for Senate Bill 126 in front of us. Go ahead, Mary.
Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, this bill, Senate Bill 126, is companion to a bill in the other body that is also moving along. The two have been working concurrently, and there were just some revisions made, and so the revisions are also being made to this bill to match the other body. Sponsors, staff, and I've been working on it. You see the front page, it explains the changes. The first four pages are the draft, the CS, version F. The second four pages are the bill, the original bill, the G version. On page 1, line 9, they deleted ownership, acquire ownership of. On page 3, line 6, there were some revisions of the phrase on the site. In the original version, it was at the end of the line. It is now in the middle of the line, or middle of the sentence, pardon me, on page 6. Very minimal revisions. And other than that, Mr. Chairman, the sponsor and the staff are here, and you'll note also an amendment. Yes.
Is there questions from Mr. Jackson?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tim Barry, aide to Senator Stedman, the sponsor of Senate Bill 126. I have a brief statement, Mr. Chairman, and then I can answer questions, or at least try to. Senator Stedman has introduced this legislation at the request of a coalition, including the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association, and the Alaska Shellfish Growers Association. SB 126 is the result of a compromise agreement among these groups, along with the Department of Law and the Governor's Office, who've been working together for months, indeed for years, to try to resolve a number of legal and management difficulties which have prevented the development of a fledgling shellfish farming industry in Southeast Alaska. SB 126 amends the state's Aquatic Farming Act to allow aquatic farms to continue to operate in compliance with a Supreme Court decision made last April. The state Supreme Court ruled that the Aquatic Farming Act requires the Department of Fish and Game to deny shellfish farmers exclusive rights to what are referred to as significant populations of wild goey ducks on their proposed farm sites. Since that decision came down, Mr. Chairman, the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fish Association, which is known as SARDFA, the Alaskan Shellfish Growers Association, and the Department of Fish and Game have been working to negotiate an agreement that would allow these farmers to harvest insignificant populations of the goey duck clams on their sites. In order to be implemented, the agreement that has been hashed out among these various groups would require a change in statute. The bill before you amends the Aquatic Farming Act to allow shellfish owners to own, to harvest and sell insignificant populations of wild shellfish stocks on their aquatic farm sites. The Department of Fish and Game is now, or has recently completed, conducting a commercial dive fishery on designated mariculture sites to remove the commercially significant population of wild gooey ducks from these areas. SB 126 makes it clear that aquatic farmers will not have to replace the shellfish that are harvested in this common property fishery. Online and in the room are a number of the people who've been involved in the negotiation of this agreement. I will make an effort to answer what questions I have, Mr. Chairman, and or defer some of your questions to some of these folks. I wanted to note also that in, I think, the last section of the bill, SB 126 defines an insignificant population as one that would not support a commercial fishery. Your package should include a zero fiscal note from the Department of Fish and Game. I'm available for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Questions by the committee? Senator Alden?
Just a minute. Let the record note that Senator Stevens has joined us, Senator Seekins has joined us, as has Senator Guest. So we're full house right now.
Questions? Senator Alden?
Just a quick question of either the sponsor or of Tim. I mean, I'm assuming there's an amendment number one in the packet, and I'm assuming that will be offered. That addresses a fairly significant concern about a broad title, and I'm just assuming it will be in the packet because it will be offered.
Mr. Chairman, as Mary explained, the changes in the CS before you were made to try to conform the current version of the version in this house to the version in the other body. A title change was made in the other body just an hour ago, I believe. And so in an effort to keep up with what they're doing, the suggestion is that this amendment could be made to do that. And I didn't see the floor debate, but my understanding through the chair, Senator Elton, is that there was some concern about a broad title.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next, we have Paul Foos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Paul Foos. I'm representing PAC Alaska, one of the pioneering farming operations, and we support this legislation, and we also support these amendments that were made, and hopefully this will help resolve some of the long-standing issues. We've been battling this for 6 years now, trying to get it sorted out, and, you know, through the courts, back and forth, regulations and everything else. I think that this bill does it. I do want to point out one section here that we want to make sure that some intent got on the record here. Just in case we end up in court again. And if you turn to page 2, section F of the bill, this addresses, it's very convoluted language. You can read it, but, what I want to make sure is put on the record what this means is that this does not mean that Fish and Game can authorize a commercial fishing operation on a farm after it's planted and has been granted. What this language does is it allows them to say, okay, we're going to set an insignificant level. Now, if we made a mistake, despite all of our best efforts to just make sure there are insignificant stocks on there, and then by chance there's more than that, what this allows is this allows the state to assess what's essentially a windfall profit tax on that. Since it's actually, you can't stop them from farming or digging them up. You can't differentiate them once they're planted and they get grown. So this is a common sense solution to it to say, okay, the farmers will pay the 3% like everybody else up to 12,000 pounds or whatever the amount is set. That's what Fish and Game has said they're going to set it at. And we'll see what happens in those regulations. And then after that, you'll pay a super tax you know, 10 times or 15 times the amount that would normally be paid, and then that money could be used to, like, replant other areas. And this is an attempt to address the constitutional issues of the common property resource. It is limited only by the common property resource, the limited entry language when the constitutional amendment went in, and then it also said, and for the efficient development of aquaculture. Well, it's never been ruled what that section means. We know what limited entry means. We have that. So it's the tension around this constitutional issue is why that language is in there. I wanted to make sure and put that on the record so that there wouldn't be any dispute about what the legislature is doing if it passes this bill.
Any questions, Mr. Fuse? Thank you, Paul. Next person, Roger Painter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Roger Painter, and I'm representing the Alaskan Shellfish Growers Association. We're delighted to see the legislation before the committee and support it wholeheartedly. This has been an ongoing dispute for a number of years, one that I've been working on for about 8 years now. And It's significantly, the whole debate has significantly retarded the growth of the industry in Alaska, and resolving this is really vital. I might point out that it's been thoroughly gone over by the Department of Law. I think there's been half a dozen attorneys working on it. Looked at the constitutional issues, looked at all the legal issues, and are in agreement with it, as is the governor's office, Fish and Game, and the farmers and the fishermen. So I certainly hope you can pass it out today and get it to the floor so we can get this thing resolved. Thank you very much.
Senator Dyson?
Yeah, Mr. Painter, would you briefly kind of inform the committee why shellfish farming is a very small or insignificant threat to wild stock and the environment, and why it differs fundamentally from finfish farming, open ocean finfish farming?
Chair to Senator Dyson, well, the biggest difference is that the shellfish we're farming are not mobile. They're bivalve shellfish that are stationary. Most of them are kept in inside cages or gear. Gooey ducks are a burrowing clam. They can go up and down in the substrate but can't move around. In addition, the state has very stringent controls on genetics and diseases. We're required to get our brood stock from the wild in the area that the fish or the shellfish are being grown. So if you're growing gooey ducks, you can only do it in southeast in the area those animals are present. Can't extend beyond the range of those shellfish under current regulations. All the shellfish are inspected for diseases before they go out to the farm. You're transferring from one farm site to another farm site. Those transfers need to be approved by pathology. So there's lots of controls over it, sir.
Thank you.
Any further questions, Mr. Painter? Thanks, Roger. Next, David Bedford.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is David Bedford. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I want to thank Senator Stedman for introducing this legislation. As the previous testimony has indicated, this legislation covers an area that has been one of substantial dispute and a lot of problems, both for the private sector and for the Department of Fish and Game. Shellfish mariculture is an enterprise which has some substantial promise for this state, for both the state as a state, and then also for the private sector. However, it's an enterprise that has been prevented from really growing to the extent that it can. In large measure, one of the things that stood in the way is the question of what kind of access may a shellfish farmer have to common property stock. We had a Supreme Court or Superior Court decision that informed us that the Constitution required us to provide access to insignificant amounts of shellfish to shellfish farmers. We then got a Supreme Court decision that said we can't because we don't have statutory authority to do so. The bill that you have in front of you remedies that both of those problems by providing to the department the statutory authority to allow shellfish farmers to harvest insignificant amounts of resident stock on their farms. At the same time, it is very clear that there's a dividing line between that which we may authorize and that which we may not, and this bill defines that for us as well, that an insignificant stock is that which would not support a commercial fishery. This bill, I think, is part of a necessary foundation to allow this industry to really grow and prosper and allow this department to develop a regulatory scheme that will sponsor that particular outcome. Thank you. In any event, we do strongly support this, and we thank you for your consideration of it, and I would be happy to answer any questions you might have.
From the time you plant the greedy ducks, how long does it take them to mature?
Senator Wagner, the best estimate that we have at this point is 5 to 7 years.
Some of us may not be around here to watch this come to fruition. That's a question. Any other questions, Mr. Bedford? Senator Seekins?
Maybe you've already covered this, Mr. Chairman, before I got here, but on the CS, you know, page 1, line 9, delete acquire ownership of. Why was that deleted? Maybe Mr. Bedford knows. I think I know, but.
I'll just. Senator Stedman?
Right there.
That was the third?
Yeah.
Page 3, line 7?
Page 1, line 9.
Full page.
Delete, acquire ownership of.
I'd like to go and refer that to my, to the.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Seekins, as originally drafted, when it says acquire ownership of, you could have a situation in which a farmer would get a lease for a farm site, acquire ownership of that stock, surrender the lease, and still own the stock. And so that was the sort of situation that we were trying to avoid. What we're trying to do is allow a farmer, in the course of operating his business, to harvest an insignificant amount of stock, but not to own it after he leaves the farm site.
I guess that
kind of like mineral rights.
Well, as I understand, transfer of title or ownership to a wild stock of anything, basically under settled law, would be at harvest. So you're not here precluding the farmer to take ownership or title of the stock when he harvests it, but you're trying to say he can't have ownership of it while it's before it's harvested. Is that what we're trying to accomplish?
Yes, through the chair, Senator Seekins, yes.
Because there is a title transfer or an ownership interest that's taken once it's legally harvested, and I just didn't want to make sure. I wanted to make sure, Mr. Chairman, that we didn't get in a position where. Now we said you harvested that shellfish, but you never got title to it. It still belongs to the state. I'm hoping that we didn't preclude that. That's the only question I had.
Through the chair, Senator Seekin. Yes, I guess it's a question of timing. What we were trying to avoid was timing the transfer of title to the point at which the lease was entered into.
All right.
Any other questions, Mr. Bedford? Thank you very much.
Let's go to off-net at this time. Julie Decker. Are you on there, Julie?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Julie Decker. I'm the Executive Director of the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association. Thank you for allowing me to testify today. I'll try to keep it brief. I'd like to thank Senator Sedman for introducing this bill. It does help us resolve in a six-year controversy over who gets to harvest the wild standing stocks of buoy ducks on a farm site. If this also implements the Supreme Court decision, and we believe it's a good bill and should help this industry move forward. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Any questions? And for the committee's information, Lance Nelson from the Department of Law is on to answer any questions you might have of him. Any further questions? Chair would entertain a motion for the amendment. Senator Stedman?
May I make a comment first?
Sure.
As testified earlier, this is kind of a conclusion of a multi-year debate or debacle, however you want to call it. I think the folks over in law was driving them nuts. It was consuming a lot of their time. It's very expensive, and they were extremely interested in coming to a compromised solution to keep everybody happy. I don't know how many times the active attorney general stopped by my office the last month, but it was numerous. So it is nice to see this go forward, and where we've got all the parties pretty much in agreement on all the major items. And it's nice to finally get this concluded.
That's pretty rare in a fishing issue, too, isn't it?
It is. That's why it took so long.
Okay. Would you like to offer an amendment for on the title? Amendment number one?
Sure, I'll go ahead and offer amendment number one.
Amendment number one's been offered. Is there any objection? Okay, amendment's adopted. Any further discussion by the committee? It's a pleasure of the committee.
Move it.
Senator Dyson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we move CS for SB 126 amended out of committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Any objection? Bill will move. Okay. Take a brief at ease. SJR 16, States' Rights to Regulate Hunting and Fishing. Senator Terrio.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick comment on that previous item. I was the budget and audit chairman a number of years ago when the audit came back. And when the folks came around to talk about this bill this year, I said, I'm remembering it now. Nasty litigation, nasty audit. And they said, yep. So sometimes it takes a while for the time to come when it appears on that piece of legislation, that issue. Its time has finally come, and it's going to be solved. So that's good. I'm before you today to ask for your support for Senate Joint Resolution 16, which encourages or goes on record, puts the legislature on record as being supportive of legislation that is pending currently before the United States Congress. That is H.R. 3731 in the House of Representatives and S. 339 in the Senate. And I note for your information that the Senate version is introduced by Senator Reid for himself, Senator Baucus, Senator Stevens, and Nelson of Nebraska, and Ensign. It's my understanding that Senators Murkowski and Representative Young had just not been approached about adding their name to the the federal legislation at this time. I also note that although it's not a finding and intent section, the Congressional Committee has a short title to name the act, and I think it really tells you what this issue is all about. It says this act may be cited as the reaffirmation of state regulation of resident and non-resident hunting and fishing act of 2005. So basically what we are doing is asking for legislative support for this legislation that makes it clear that despite some current action in the court system, that the Congress has not taken action to preclude states from exercising their own sovereign power with regards to hunting and fishing when it comes specifically to residents versus non-residents. That's an issue certainly that is of importance to our state. It obviously is of importance to a number of states. Mr. Somerville, whose phone just rang, will come in and have some technical answers to technical questions if you have them. I believe he has been following this legislation as it progresses through Congress. This specifically, again, deals with the issue of non-residency versus residency, our power to as a state control that, and that the fact that the Congress has been silent on that is not to be construed to be limiting the state's abilities to regulate that. So with that, I'm available to answer questions if you have any.
Questions of Senator Terrio?
Question.
Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Terrio, isn't it true that in most saloons in Alaska, there's a bell at the end of the bar, and when someone runs over and rings that bell, that they're supposed to buy drinks for everybody in the room?
Not being a frequenter of too many bars across the state, I'm not sure. But I'll take your word for it, Senator.
I've heard that the new Alaska bar bell is the cell phone, and if it rings, you owe lunch to everybody in the room.
We could certainly introduce legislation that would be proposed.
Or $10 a piece, whichever is less.
So I'll collect my lunch later.
Mr. Chairman, I can speak to whether such a bell exists at the Triangle, and I don't think one does. But
okay.
I had a look the next time I'm down.
Senator Seekins. Just a comment. You know, I think part of the reason that I really kind of like the fact that we can support this kind of a bill is if we roll back just a few years to 1953, when there was a decision that came from the United States Supreme Court prior to that in a California case that said the 3-mile limit didn't exist as to state ownership from the high tide on out for the low tide out for 3 miles. Which had always been assumed that that was the case since the beginning of the nation. In order to overcome that adverse decision, the U.S. Congress passed the 1953 Submerged Lands Act, which said these lands belong to the states or under the management of the states, and state law is what applies here. Made it very clear in that act that even though the courts had come up with a ruling that most Americans did not agree with, they in effect signed a quitclaim deed to all of that land and those resources to all of the states. I think in some respects that's what we're looking at here in this bill, is that since sometimes the courts seem to be a little confused as to what powers were transferred to the federal government in the U.S. Constitution, and there doesn't seem to be any real transfer of those powers in the Constitution to take away the sovereign state's management authority over their fish and wildlife, that this bill tends to express the intent of Congress to comply with what I believe the original intent of the framers of the Constitution had. So I support this unequivocally. I would probably make it even stronger, but wouldn't do it serve any purpose.
And Mr. Chairman, just very short piece of federal legislation here, and on page 2 up at the top it says, regulate the taking for any purpose of fish and wildlife within its boundaries, including by means of laws or regulations that differentiate between residents and non-residents of such state. So it's just basically, since there is this question of whether the Commerce Clause is to be interpreted to enter into this, the Congress is just going on record basically answering that question for the court system.
Further questions, sponsor? It's a pleasure to the committee.
Chairman, I move that we report Senate Joint Resolution 16 out of committee with individual recommendations.
Any objection? And, we'll take a short recess.